I'm pulling out of the driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for a drive to work. Okay, one of my ongoing quests of this podcast is to record a podcast about every expansion of Magic. And there's a lot of them. And I made a good headway. I think today I'm up to Aether Revolt. So Kaladesh was the large set in this block. It's a block, one large set, one small set. I have talked about Kaladesh a couple times. I've not talked about Aether Revolt. So I'm gonna set the scene a little bit. I gotta talk about Kaladesh a little bit. Kaladesh, the plane now known as Avishkar. But let's talk a little bit about the making of the original set, and then we'll get into Aether Revolt. So the idea, the original, I think the jumping off point for this block was the idea of us doing a steampunk set. We talked for a while that we wanted to do something, and then we wanted to do kind of our stamp on it. I think Jeremy Jarvis, who was the art director at the time, liked to call it Aetherpunk. And the idea was, our take on it was to try to go a little bit more optimistic than often. Often steampunk can be a little less optimistic. And we like the idea of something very bright and shiny. We had done some darker worlds, and we're like, okay, how about something bright and shiny about creativity and invention? And we were really into this idea of something that really was, you know, a little bit about the excitement of invention, the excitement of artifacts. So what had happened was we had figured out that we wanted to do this world, and we actually teased it in, what was it called? It was called Magic Origins, which was, it was a core set, but it was a core set that had a story to it. And the story was we introduced each of five planeswalkers, Gideon for white, Jace for blue, Liliana for black, Chandra for red, and Nissa for green. What happened to be the first five members of the Gatewatch, by the way. And we showed each of them in their original home plane, and they sparked, and we showed them in the first plane post-spark. Now, some of them had come from places that people knew. You know, Liliana was from Dominaria. We'd been in Dominaria a lot. Nissa was from Zendikar. We'd been in Zendikar. But Chandra's home world, we decided that we wanted it to be this steampunk world that we've been talking about. And so we actually did a little bit of work during Magic Origins to start doing a little bit of how they look and feel. And so we did that, and we did what we call a throw forward, which is, here's something we're going to do, and then we're going to revisit, you know, relatively quickly. I believe it came out, Magic Origins was before Oath of the Gatewatch. So it's just a few years before, or a couple years before, Kaladesh came out. So anyway, because Kaladesh was this idea of invention, I had made a mechanic called Energy for original Mirrodin. The idea being, I was trying to find a way inspired by artifacts that had a limited time usage. I was really interested in the idea of, what if we made artifacts that had so many usages, but you could share the usage between them? Originally, I did that with like charge counters, meaning an artifact would come with so many charge counters, and then to use the ability, you had to remove a charge counter from any artifact you control, was originally how it worked. But then I realized that that was kind of fiddly, that you had to kind of balance, like you wanted to use your stuff such that no matter what got destroyed, you didn't lose too much. And there was a lot of energy, I guess, spent on trying to maximize what was going on. And we realized that wasn't really the fun part of it. And so I said, well, what if instead of all these counters living on all your artifacts, we just give a player counter? And that's how we came up with energy. So the idea is some cards give you energy, and obviously, in original Mirrodin, which is very artifact-focused, it was only on artifacts. But when we brought it back, we used it all over the place. And I had tried to get energy in a whole bunch of different sets. The gap between Mirrodin and Kaladesh, I believe, was like 10 to 13 years. It was a lot. And I tried to find other places for it. But when we got to Kaladesh, it was so obviously the right thing. And I was so excited by it that the creative team actually wove it into the world, that the world had this aether that was, like, there's this natural source of energy that was plentiful in the world. And the reason that the world was all about invention was because of this access to this energy. And that was a big part of sort of what defined the world. We would do some other stuff. We also ended up introducing vehicles in Kaladesh. We had talked about doing vehicles for a long time. It was one of those flavorful things. And the real question was how to capture them. You know, what do we do that really gets a sense of what they are? And in the end, the solution we came up with in, I forget whether it was exploratory or vision, probably exploratory, for Kaladesh, was what if they were artifacts that turned into creatures when they got crude, meaning when essentially I have an object, you know, my object is nothing until some person comes and crews it, meaning they get in to drive it, and then it becomes a creature only in the sense of the game sense of now I can attack and block with it. And that was kind of our thing, is they're not sort of creatures until somebody crews them, and essentially, you know, a car is just a car until a driver gets in it with sort of the flavor. And that worked pretty well. We were pretty happy with that. One of the things about blocks in general is when you make a block, you want to have some inherent conflict for a world, and then you want to have some evolution of story, right? What happens? So we wanted to start with this really exciting, you know, creative energy, you know, this inventor's world is what we wanted, with an underlining sort of, we call it aetherpunk now, but a steampunk aetherpunk vibe of, we wanted this, you know, it's a world. And the other thing we decided really early on was that while there was magic in this world, that most of what the cards represented was not magic, but technology. And so if you look at a lot of the spells, that a lot of what you're seeing is people using objects to be able to do things. One of the things that we got on pretty early on was that we created a government for this place. It was a little controlling. And we liked the idea that what if you came to this world and everything seemed so wonderful, but you realize that under the surface, things aren't quite what they seem. Originally, we knew Chandra was going to be here. It was Chandra's home. The idea was we knew that Chandra thought her parents were dead. We decided that one of her parents was dead. Her dad had died, but not her mom. And so we knew we'd get to reunite with her mom. And the other thing was, the Oath of the Gatewatch gets created. So there's Battle for Zendikar, Oath of the Gatewatch gets created. Then we go to Shadowmoor for Shadows Over, we go to Innistrad for Shadows Over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon, and okay, we pick up Liliana into the Gatewatch. And we sort of told that story, which was kind of an Eldrazi story, because Emrakul gets pulled over to Innistrad. So the first kind of story is kind of this year-long story where they're dealing with the Eldrazi. They don't quite know the Eldrazi is what's going on in the second part of the story, but we learn it is. And then we decided that this is kind of our first big arcs in a while. Obviously, like, the Weatherlight Saga was a big arc, but we wanted to do an arc, and what we ended up calling the Bolas arc. And the idea of the Bolas arc was it was going to be three acts. So the idea was act one, we learn of the threat. The threat is Bolas. Act two, our heroes get sort of thrown about and try to figure out what's going on. And then act three leads up to a giant battle. And the idea, and this was Doug Byer's sort of brainchild, the idea of what if it culminates in a war on Ravnica, a planeswalker war, where almost every planeswalker we know is fighting Bolas and his eternal army of zombies. So we really wanted to set things up. Interestingly, the very first set was supposed to be not Kaladesh, but Amonkhet. Originally, it was going to go Amonkhet, was going to be the first set of the year, first block of the year, then Callidus the second block. Then we're going to go to Ixalan, then to Dominaria, and then finally to Ravnica for the whole final year. That was the plan. We were actually in Vision, early Vision, or maybe we were in Exploratory Design. I think we were in Exploratory Design for Amonkhet when we decided to swap Kaladesh and Amonkhet. That the idea was we wanted Kaladesh to come first. Part of the story, I mean, I can tell you now, because Bolas, so the master plan was Bolas needed somebody, so somebody had to fight the planeswalkers, and so we loved this idea that he had this army of zombies, and the story we came up with was that he had built them in Amonkhet, that he had sort of taken over the city and sort of co-opted the way the city functioned as a way to build his zombie army. But we needed a way to get his zombie army to Ravnica, because we really wanted the final battle to be in Ravnica. We wanted a place that was really meant something. There was a lot at stake, right? And so we needed a way to get the zombies there. So that is where the Planar Bridge comes into play. So the Planar Bridge ends up being this invention invented on Kaladesh. And we get to see that in Kaladesh, the set. So the idea was this was going to introduce that item. And I think I'm trying to remember why we rearranged it. I know why it was. Is we wanted the end of Act 1 to be the Gatewatch being defeated at the hands of Bolas. So for those that know three-act structure, what's normally common is you introduce your villain in Act 1, and then normally your villain defeats your heroes. And often that's the end of Act 1, meaning that your heroes have a great defeat at the hands of the villain, and now you're getting into Act 2 to figure out how do they come back for this. And we really liked that idea. So we thought if we'd put Kaladesh first, we can introduce the Planar Bridge in a subtle way. Tezzeret is there. You don't know that Tezzeret specifically is working for Bolas yet, but Tezzeret steals the Planar Bridge. You can, the Vorthoses could start piecing things out. Tezzeret did have a history of working with Bolas, so you could figure that out. And so we decided to swap them so that we could have Amonkhet be second, and basically our heroes who have a victory. So the Gatewatch gets together, they basically defeat the Eldrazi, and they're feeling really good. And so when they discover a new problem, they're like, okay, let's get the band together, we're going to go solve this problem, and they go to Amonkhet thinking, okay, we know what we're doing, and it's their first really big defeat. That was part of the reason of the switch. Anyway, back to, we designed Kaladesh. There are other things that go into it. There's other mechanics like fabricate stuff, but the main two things that are in the set, which is what we carry over to Aether Revolt, is energy and vehicles. Oh, and the other thing is, so we set up in the very first set, originally we were gonna have Chandra be the face of the first set. But as we worked out the story, what we realized was that we actually wanted there to be a revolt, that things weren't as good as they seemed, and that it turned out the government was really not up to no good. Dovin Bond worked for the government. And so we needed to create this environment where the first story seems like everything's great, but the second story, things break into open revolts. We also knew, like I said, that we wanted to introduce Chandra's mother. She was getting reunited. Chandra needed to come home. This is the first time she had returned to her home plane since she had sparked. And the idea that her mother, who she thought was dead, was not dead, was a fun turning point. And then when we decided that we wanted it to be a revolt, we're like, oh, well, what if her mother was leading the revolt? So anyway, it all sort of came together. The other interesting thing was originally Chandra was going to be the face for Kaladesh. And realized that we were going to do sort of the invention set and then do the revolt set. I'm like, well, if Chandra's the face of anything, it's revolt. She definitely is someone who will not stand for injustice and will do what needs to get done. So she made more sense for Aether Revolt. We ended up making the character Saheeli, because Saheeli was an inventor. So we created Saheeli specifically to be the face of Kaladesh, to fill that role. Anyway, that brings us to A The Revolt, aka Stock. So the sets that year, when we named them before they went to 2 and 2, we named them Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And then when we changed it over, so what happened was we had had Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And then because the nicknames were public, we had to be careful about giving away that we had changed over from 3 set blocks to 2 set blocks. So it became, it was Blood and Sweat, then became Tears and Fears, and Lock and Stock, and became Barrel and Monkeys is the thing. So so this set, A The Revolt, was led, it was a small set, led by Mark Gottlieb. The design team was me, Gottlieb, me, Ken Nagel, Gavin Verhey, Adam Prozac, I believe, and Ari Levitch was the creative lead. And then development was led by Ben Hayes, and then Sam Stoddard, Ethan Fleischer, Adam Prozac, Yanni Skolnick, and Tim Aiden. So I think Adam was the overlap between the two. So we knew basically that this was an extension of Kaladesh, but the story had an upbeat, which is all about revolt. That the people are revolting against the government, who's not so nice. So what we decided was we wanted to have some carryover. There's still a block. But also we were more, over the years, in early Magic, the way blocks worked is the large set would introduce a mechanic, or two mechanics usually, and then the small sets would just evolve those mechanics. Eventually we started introducing new mechanics later in the block. And by the time we got to here, the idea was we'd introduce things in the large set. Some of those mechanics, the major ones, would carry over, but we would then invent new mechanics. So we carried over energy, we carried over crew and vehicles, and then we decided to come up with two new mechanics. So first, improvise. So one of the things we wanted to play into is that the people revolting were inventors, right? One of the things about this world is this is a world of creativity. And so obviously if you are inventors and you're revolting, you would use your inventions to do so. And so that was something that we thought was, it was important, even though there was a theme of revolution, we definitely wanted to keep the idea of, revolution is here, but there's still some invention. Invention is still important. And so improvise basically was a tweak on Convoke. So Convoke was a mechanic created by Richard Garfield in original Ravnica. Interestingly, he originally suggested it for Boros to represent sort of the army working together. And I moved it to Selesnya to capture the Selesnya sense of, we're stronger by our numbers. And it just worked a little bit better in there. So we really liked Convoke. Convoke was a lot of fun. We brought it back in a main set. We brought it back actually as a guild mechanic at one point. That might be the future from here. But we thought it was a fun mechanic. And so the idea was improvise was essentially Convoke, but instead of tapping creatures, you tapped artifacts. And the idea was, I think the only thing that's different from Convoke is, Convoke, if you tapped a colored creature, you could replicate colored mana. And I think improvise mostly went on artifacts that were generic. So we're still at a time, just real quickly, when we made Kaladesh block, we were still in the day where mostly artifacts were generic colorless things. We had a few colored artifacts. The Gear Hulks were colored. So it wasn't that we never did colored artifacts. Esper had happened before this time. So colored artifacts were a tool in our tool bucket, but it was something we still did lightly. Kaladesh block would go awry and cause us some play balance issues and made us realize we needed to use colored artifacts more. So it's after Kaladesh that we start being a lot more aggressive about using colored cost in artifacts. And so, because the problem really is when you make artifacts that are too good and they're colorless, they're generic mana, any deck can play them. It causes a lot of problems. But anyways, improvise is still in a time period where most of our artifacts are in fact colorless. And so it doesn't have the rider that Convoke did that you can tap for colored mana, mostly because most of the artifacts, in fact, maybe all the artifacts that had Improvise at the time were colorless. I'm trying to remember if they were on spells or not. Not 100% sure. But anyway, so Improvise was us doing another sort of staying with the invention, but playing the idea of the utility of invention. The idea, the thing we liked about Improvise is like, well, things aren't as they normally are. Things are going awry. And so you now have to use your inventor skills to sort of create things that you might not normally have needed. And the idea is, in the time of revolt, I have to take my inventions and repurpose them for revolt, is the idea. Speaking of revolt, we did in fact have a mechanic called revolt. So this is an ability word. It says if a permanent left the battlefield this turn, or sorry, if a permanent under your control, or if a permanent left the battlefield under your control this turn, I think is how it says. It's an ability word, meaning it has a little italicized text in front of it. The idea of revolt was we really wanted to lean into the idea that things are going to get destroyed and sacrificed. I think this was worded so it did trigger if it left the battlefield anyway. If you bounced it, it also worked. But the idea essentially is this is sort of a tweak on Morbid. Morbid showed up in original Innistrad. So Morbid was a mechanic that said, if something died this turn, there is a bonus to the card. And so this works in the same way. It's just looking for a permanent to leave play. So it's a little wider than Morbid. Morbid was only creatures and only if they went specifically to the graveyard, where this had a little wider. We had actually played around, I forget what we called it. I think we had a mechanic called Detonate for a while in where the idea is it came with counters and then you did things to remove the counters and they blew up and did damage in that. I think what was decided was, while we liked the theme of revolt, we wanted to stay a little bit away from like bombs blowing up and stuff. So Detonate ended up not staying. It was actually a fun mechanic, but it was a little... We had to be careful. There's a lot of imagery here where, you know, we want to sort of portray sort of a fictional revolt, but more of a fantasy revolt and not get too realistic. I think the set also had a theme, a little X theme that ran through it. Like one of the things, obviously, that when you mix a small set with a big set, the big set has a lot of influence for limited, especially. Like I said, there's a continuation of energy and vehicles. So the interesting thing is, I think that we had done something a little bit different than we normally do, which was normally the conflict is right out of the gate. That normally when we do a set, the conflict of the world is very loud at the beginning. Oh, well, these people are fighting those people or whatever. This time we did something a little bit different, where the idea is we start with what seems like a happy world. And you kind of get a block where there is no conflict. Now, we hint at it. And if you read the story, there's clearly things in the story that are going on. You know, and mostly what's... So the idea here is there is two different sort of stories. There's the story of what's going on the plane of, at the time, Kaladesh, now Avishkar, where there was open revolt happening. We liked the idea of sort of fun that we present you a world, but then the conflict sort of comes out of that, and that we could see the conflict in the first set, but it's really the second set that the volume of the conflict goes way up in the second set. And we hadn't done that before, so I really liked the idea of sort of getting to show you a happy world before we throw the conflict in. And so it was something a little bit different than we had done before. I also thought that I really enjoyed, one of the things that was fun about designing this block was the theme of invention allowed us, it had an artifact, basically it was an artifact block. And we got to experiment a lot with doing really fun, weird, quirky artifacts. Like Penharmonicon was one of the ones I made, for original Kaladesh, and that was sort of fun. It was fun. I like sets lean in different directions, and this block leaned a little more in Johnny and Jenny. that we got to do a little bit more. Here's weird, quirky things. What are you going to do with these weird and quirky things? And I like the idea that improvise was there to sort of help you. And revolt was sort of fun in that it added this little extra, like, even though it was used to represent the conflict, revolt actually had a lot of Johnny and Jenny fun elements to it, which is, I need to get my things, I need to leave the battlefield. Well, there's a bunch of ways I can leave the battlefield. And so you had a lot of different ways to explore that. Now, there also, I mean, there's plenty for Timmy and Tammy and for Spike. I mean, there was, all of our sets are designed for all the psychographics. So I'm trying to think, any other fun things to talk about this block? I don't know, it's funny. I really, when you ask me my favorite blocks, I have a fondness for Innistrad and for original Ravnica and Zendikar. But I really, Kaladesh is definitely up there for me of one of the blocks where I really like the world. I think it is something that is, like, one of the things that is one of the challenges of what we do is there's a multiverse. We're constantly visiting different worlds. And, like, you need worlds to stand apart from each other and have a certain energy to them. And, energy. That you need them to sort of have a different feel. And I really enjoyed the idea of having a world that was a little more upbeat, that's a little more about, like, the fact about creativity and invention, that there's a world where that played a major role. I thought it was really cool. And even when we get to the revolt part of the set, even when we get to the second set, there still was this through line that these are creative people using creativity to solve their problems. That's why I like improvise a lot. It's like, okay, maybe we didn't make these artifacts specifically do these things, but we could adapt and use them. And I thought that was pretty fun. And Pia, who is Chandra's mom, I thought was a really, really fun character. And the idea that there's something really fun about you see Chandra and then you meet her mom and you're like, I kind of get where, like, I kind of better understand Chandra having met her mom. And that is something that was super fun. We, sadly, for some reason, do not get to meet a lot of parents of planeswalkers. A lot of our planeswalkers have sad stories and do not have living parents. And so to have the opportunity to really have an interaction between a planeswalker and a parent was great. And Cathartic Reunion is, that's the one we show, it's Chandra and her mom seeing each other for the first time. In fact, in Mood Swings, on the card Love, it's that picture of Chandra and her mom from the Cathartic Reunion. I like that picture so much, we used it for Love. And it's interesting that one of the things about Magic is, because we're a game of conflict, it's a lot easier on cards to show, like, anger and such. It's a little harder to show love. And so Cathartic Reunion has kind of been this weird stake in the ground of carving out a little space for red where we get to show a little love from time to time. And I love that every time we use Cathartic Reunion, we just show different people coming back together. And that started here. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, the block in general got decently received. I think the small sets never got received as well as the large sets. And obviously, Kaladesh got... So one of the issues of Kaladesh, real quickly, for a little history behind the scenes, is we tried some big swings. We did energy, we did vehicles, both of which were things we had not done before that were very complex systems. Energy requires a whole economy. Vehicles, it's just using a cost we had never used before. And we missed on both. Meaning, we made both energy and vehicles that were just stronger than ideally they should be. Because when you do things early on, you don't always, like, it takes a little time to sort of understand things. And so Kaladesh, as a constructed environment, had a lot of issues because there's some... we'll call them broken cards, some really overpowered cards. And that had an impact on A the Revolt because by the time we were making A the Revolt, we understood some of the things that went wrong. And so I think A the Revolt suffered a little bit more from Kaladesh kind of breaking. And like I said, Kaladesh did a lot to have us revamp how we did artifacts. That whole block really was a big eye-opener of... It was what got us to the move to colored artifacts and really got us to sort of rethink how we were doing artifact sets and blocks and such. But anyway, guys, that is the story of Aether Revolt. The rebels do win, by the way, for those that want to know how the story turns out. Well, they kind of win. But anyway, that, my friends, I'm now at work. That, my friends, is the story of the making of Aether Revolt. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. But as I'm at work, we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.